Yes, hello. Good to be here. Thanks for being here with me. Well, what I'm talking today about is the influence of 13 different biochars on N2O production and its sources during rewetting and drying cycles. So quite a long title, sorry about that. So what I'm really talking about is the effect of those biochars on the sources of N2O. Now, don't despair when I'm showing you this here. What I'm only wanting to show to you is that you have different sources of N2O. If you're looking at this part here, that's the N2O. And wherever you see a dot, that's a potential source of nitrous oxide. And you can have those different sources simultaneously in a soil in different microsites. And the question is now, what is biochar, what is the addition of biochar doing to those sources? So we know that biochars can decrease N2O emissions, and there have been some talks about this in some different sessions today as well. But we don't really know what it does on those microbial sources, so what the reason is really for N2O emission decrease. And that's what we wanted to test here with 13 different chars. So what were these chars? We used three different feedstocks, cypress, loblolly pine, and grapewood, and used four pyrolysis temperatures from 350 to 900 degrees centigrade. Well, that gives you 12. We added one more, which was a Contiki biochar made from grapewood. And we added those to a loamy sand, which we brought to a pH of 7.1, and that was pre-incubated at 40% water holding capacity for 4 days before we added whatever comes next. That was pre-incubated with the chars, with or without 2% of those chars. And then we added 15N nitrate. So that means that whatever 15N labeled N2O we find later, it comes from the nitrate. So most people will tell you now that this is denitrification, but looking at this, the first, well, second slide I showed you, there are several processes, but well, let's call it denitrification for simplicity here now. So that was added at 10 atom percent enrichment, which gave an atom percent enrichment of approximately 6 in the soils, and we brought the soil to 80% water holding capacity. Then we let it dry out, we re-wetted, let it dry out, re-wetted, let it dry out. So we had 3 re-wetting cycles. And we took daily samples of 15N N2O. Now here's the first results now. What you see in blue is the water holding capacity over time on the x-axis, and the axis for this is on your right-hand side. So you see nicely we brought it up to 80%, it dried out, went back up, dried out, went back up, dried out. So this is what we wanted. Now in black you see the N2O emissions on the left-hand axis. And you see also here some cycles. So whenever water was added, whenever water holding capacity was high, we see a peak in nitrous oxide production, which isn't what we would normally expect as well. And what we see also is that these peaks increase with rewetting cycles. So as you go along in time, the peaks increase. What I'm showing you here is the data from the control treatments, so without the chars. So let's now look at what the chars are doing to this. And this is what I'm showing here. So on the y-axis, you see a change in N2O emissions compared to the control. So if it's zero, it means no change. If it's positive, it means with the char, there's more emission of nitrous oxide. Negative, it's less emission. So what you see nicely here for the different chars, and you have the cypress here, the grapewood, the loblolly pine, and the Contiki char, at the different temperatures, please note, the higher the temperature, the more yellowish the color. So red means low temperature. What you see here is we also have those three cycles. So you see an effect of the water holding capacity also on the reduction capacity of the biochars. And what we see is the higher the emission, if you remember the control, the higher also the sort of capacity of the biochar to reduce those emissions. So with time, we're having more reductions. If you look more closely at the data, you also see that towards the lower end of the axis, so down here, but also down here, down there, you always have the lighter points, so the higher pyrolysis temperatures. So the higher the temperature of pyrolysis, the more the reduction in N2O emissions. And that was significant as well. What you see here with the loblolly pine is something maybe strange. So in some conditions, the loblolly pine especially tended to increase the N2O emissions. So that was not when the soil was wettest, but when the soil was slowly drying out or even just before rewetting. Right. Now we're looking at the 15N enrichment in those N2O emissions. So again, we labeled the 15N nitrate. So everything we see here as 15N N2O must have come from the nitrate. What we're seeing here is a significant effect of flux on 15N enrichment. So on the x-axis, you have the flux of N2O, y-axis, the enrichment. The higher the flux, the higher the enrichment. That is something we would expect as well. But if you're looking more closely, you also see effects on the different biochars and of the different temperatures on those patterns. So, for example, you see the cypress in green, and my pointer is not as quick as I am. You see the cypress here with the highest enrichment, and the contiki especially with a very low enrichment, almost none coming from the 15N nitrate here. And you also see effects here of the temperature. Both were significant. Looking at that in a bit more detail, we have now the control here in black in looking at the atom percent 15N N2O over time with those three cycles. What we're seeing is that with the three rewetting cycles, we also have cycles and 15N enrichment of the N2O, meaning we have shifts in the process that is leading to N2O. So if we have a wetter soil, we have more N2O coming from nitrate, so probably more denitrification, which is what we would expect. And as the soil is drying out, we get more from nitrification and other sources. However, what you can also see is that compared to the control in black, you have an influence on the biochars, also on the process of N2O emissions. So you see less of the nitrous oxide coming from 15N nitrate with the chars. And here for the cypress, especially for the high temperature chars, so that's what you see, a pattern that you see with all the chars. The higher the pyrolysis temperature, the less N2O is coming from nitrate. However, if you're looking at the loblolly pine again, you see here something different happening, especially in the second cycle here, but maybe also in the third one. You see that almost the same amount of N2O is coming here from the 15N nitrate. With the Contiki biochar, again, almost nothing is coming from nitrate. So we really have a change in sources of N2O depending on the char and depending on the pyrolysis temperature. Now, something we need to look at when looking at the enrichment is, of course, what's happening to the enrichment over time. And this is what we're doing here. This is the control here in black and the different pyrolysis temperatures, looking at the atom percent 15N nitrate at the end of the incubation. And what we're seeing here is some sort of dilution effect by nitrification at the higher temperatures especially. But that is not that cannot explain fully the data that we saw before. So it's not just an effect of this dilution that we find less label in the N2O. Right. Coming to summary and brief outlook, we see that the feedstocks and the pyrolysis temperature have an influence on the sources of nitrous oxide. And we've also sent samples from our soils at the end of the incubation to Claudia Kammann's lab, and she picked the biochar from there and looked at the 15N nitrate at the end of this incubation, how much she could find back on the biochar. I think you will talk about that tomorrow at 1:35 or something like that. So come to see that presentation as well to see a second part of the story. With that, we wanted to understand the mechanisms behind this shift of sources. We also looked at different parameters of the biochars, but to be honest, well, you are the biochar people right here, I'm the N2O person, so maybe you can help me make more sense of those data and try to understand what's going on. I don't have the explanation right now, so I don't know what property or what mixture of properties of the biochars really cause the patterns that we are seeing here. So hoping for your input there. What is my next step? I want to use the dual isotope method on selected biochars, and that would be the loblolly pine in this case, because it did something strange. It's the Kon-Tiki and the grapewood chars for a better distinction of sources. So what does that mean? In fact, we have done the incubations already. We're waiting for the 59 and 18 O data. So if you're looking at the sources, and here I'm just showing nitrification, denitrification, and nitrifier denitrification for making it a little bit more simple. So if you're looking at those sources, the nitrifiers use oxygen in the first oxidation step, and they use oxygen from water for the second and third step. So if we're adding 18O labeled water, then we can differentiate among these sources here from denitrification and nitrifier denitrification, and differentiate that from N2O from nitrification. And therefore, if we use 18O water and 18O nitrate on top of 15N nitrate and 15N ammonium, we can, well, differentiate among those different sources. So that's what we've been doing right now. As I said, we're waiting for the data. And with that, I would like to thank you very much indeed. This one?
Yeah.
Yep.
So it looks like over time the emissions get less negative across the board. Why, upon rewetting time after time, do you see like?
That's a really good question. The question is on why we do those cycles and they get stronger sort of over time. Well, we see that in the emissions of the control as well as in the biochar. So what's really happening with the biochar seems to be that the emissions stay very low over time. But since the emissions in the control increase with every cycle, the reduction seems to be larger. So it's more something that's happening in the control rather than in the biochars. Why it's happening in the control is also a good question, if that comes next. I'm not completely sure, but I guess it's maybe also some sort of adaptation to the system, that you're getting more mineralization, the microbes are getting used to what's happening to them, sort of, and yeah, something like that. Yeah, something like that, yeah, yeah. Yes, although there were some chars that didn't quite fit in, so where you found the highest uptake at 700 degrees, for example, and we still have the highest effect at 900 degrees, so we really need to look into that more closely.
Yeah. But
thank you.